So talk a bit about some of the concerns going on here. What sort of things came out in this conversation?
Mainly concerns about the fact that a lot of the people that were a part of the community that we spoke with didn't want to be pigeonholed and just be talked about as, you know, the Muslims in the area. And they were really adamant about how diverse the community was. And there's a lot of turnover because it's a university town. There are students that come in and leave 4 years later. But in addition, there's also a lot of different views in the area. It was really interesting to hear them talk about the architecture of the mosque and how it was built specifically to look more, quote, American looking, so it doesn't look like it's from any specific part of the world. And it was really cool to listen to them talk about the fact that some of the inscriptions inside the dome are in orange and blue University of Illinois colors.
At the same time, they're noting that this is a mosque and it does fit traditional requirements for worship. For instance, the room in which prayers are held is shifted off of the city street grid so that it is facing Mecca.
Right. And there's a lot of rich history there that I wasn't aware of, at least before we went and spoke with some of the people that we did. For example, the Muslim Student Association at the University of Illinois is one of the oldest in the country. And actually, the Muslim Student Association, like the national organization, was founded at the University of Illinois. So that dates back to the 1950s, and the National Association was founded in the 60s. So there's been a strong Muslim community in the area for quite some time.
But there was certainly that statements being made that they are a diverse group. It ranges from immigrants, second generation immigrants, converts to Islam, African American Muslims and white Muslims. Certainly a lot of University of Illinois students who also have that same range of diversity. Because, of course, students come and go. That does involve a certain amount of churn in this community that you might not see in a non-college town area for an Islamic community. But at the same time, a member speaking to us told us that it also, in a way, encouraged more unity among the community. In other cities that where the Muslim communities were more settled, things might get divided, say, along ethnic grounds, so that Shia and Sunni are one nationality or another, or different ethnic groups might have their own communities, even their own mosques. Here, everybody is using, everybody for several counties around is worshiping together.
Right. And there was a graduate student who we spoke with who said that as far as the other mosques that he had, he moved to Illinois from the East Coast. And aside from some of the other mosques that he had been involved in, it was welcoming in ways that some of the other ones that he had been a part of hadn't been. And so it seemed like that set a tone for engagement and involvement and empowerment in a way that it may not have in a different area.
And there are other religious organizations that have a significant history here. You mentioned a couple other ones that are just like the group that you spoke with.
Yeah, I think that's something that's worth reminding people of is just the role, and they were pointing it out to us, the role that the University of Illinois has played in hosting student religious organizations, and that they noted that the first Catholic Newman Center. I think there had been a Newman Club someplace else beforehand, but the first Catholic Newman Center was at the U of I campus. The first Hillel Foundation facility at the U of I campus. We were looking up ourselves about the Urbana Conventions. This is the Evangelical Church Missions Student Convention, which for years was held around here, which is apparently the reason it's called Urbana. It's no longer held at the U of I. But they still use that name for that convention, which had its roots here at the U of I.
Well, another issue that we've obviously covered before in Illinois Public Media News, you heard a lot of concerns about the community, but did you talk about how public perceptions have gone on since that they have encountered after the 9/11 attacks?
From what we heard, There have been a lot of misconceptions that have come about because of that. And I was really struck. One of the women who was there said that she wakes up every morning and has this thought where she's horrified a little bit to turn on the radio or the TV to find out that there may have been someone somewhere in the world that would have done something stupid, is what she said. Or you know, if there had been someone who claimed to be Muslim that had taken an extreme action because of, you know, quote, their faith. And I just thought that that was really, it displayed a concern that is a lot larger than that. And I, you know, as a, I'm not a Muslim, I had never thought about that being something that would play a role in my life that I would have to defend myself against. And, you know, there were, we heard several times people saying, just because something happens, you know, in the Middle East does not mean that I'm an authority to comment about it. And so I thought that displayed a very real thing that happens.
Many many in the group who spoke to us last week were, you know, talking about how they had always counted on their personal relationships with neighbors and coworkers, et cetera, in which ways they could introduce themselves as being people who were Muslim around the community. But after the 9/11 attacks in 2001, they found more barriers. Some people spoke about it being harder to find a job after that because they were typed as Muslims and that as being something negative.
Right. Or, you know, having one of the men used the phrase exotic creature to describe how some people react when they find out that he's Muslim. This was a white Muslim man who was talking about that, and I thought that was interesting too. We also heard a lot about ideas of community and what types of community. A lot of the people that were there saying, and one of the things that he said was that everyone wanted a place where they felt welcome and accepted, but that means it's something different to everyone. And it was interesting to listen to him talk about how he had coworkers who would invite him out for drinks after work, but as a Muslim, that's not something that he does. And so that's not as welcoming as maybe it's perceived by someone else. So it was interesting to talk about the breach of culture and life choices that you make due to, like, your faith that play out differently for different people.
So what else did the Muslims we spoke with have to say about being part of the larger community?
Well, I think they wanted to be a welcoming community, and they wanted to be in a welcoming community. They wanted to be seen as someone who is a Muslim, but not someone who is defined only 100% in one way by the label Muslim. As one person said it, he would like to be seen as an engineer and then a Muslim, and not a Muslim with a scary name that happens to be an engineer.
Right. And I think we talked a lot about identity maintenance and relationship maintenance with, you know, other people. And I think there are some bridges to be built in different places.
Certainly one of the things they did like to talk about was, I think, one of the main outreach efforts as far as charitable actions in the community from the Muslims at the Central Illinois Mosque. And that's the Avicenna Community Health Center in Midtown Champaign. It's only open two evenings a week, but it is a health clinic providing, I believe, free or low-cost medical care for the general public.
All right. Well, AM 580's Focus producer Lindsay Moon and host Jim Meadows, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.